In some ways, the Advent season is a simple season. Very clear that we're in a season of hopeful preparation, joyful anticipation. And in a sense, that's all we have to know. If we have faith, all we have to know is that God has promised and he will fulfill his promises. And we can rejoice in that, as we spoke about yesterday. But because our minds are dull and because we get easily distracted, it's important to continue to ponder the prophecies, the promises, and how God fulfills them, because that way they get planted more deeply in our hearts. So today we read another beautiful prophecy from Isaiah. A prophecy of what will take place on this mountain. Probably Isaiah had in mind Mount Zion. But mountains in the scriptures are place, meeting places with God. So the place where we meet God, what will happen when we meet God? Well, he will provide for everybody a feast of rich food and choice wines. And not only that, he will destroy death and wipe away all tears. So it's an extraordinary promise. Now, when we reflect on prophecies, of course, we have to be ready to interpret them or understand how they are fulfilled. And very often, they get fulfilled on different levels at different times. Sometimes the prophets had certain things in mind themselves, and yet what God had in mind was much greater. I don't know what Isaiah was thinking about here, that death would be destroyed forever. He probably was thinking it was a symbolic way of describing the great victory of the Lord or the establishment of his reign. I don't know. But the church continues to reflect on a prophecy like this and say, well, the Lord promises to provide for us. And he does provide for us. And he will provide for us. See, Advent, as you know, focuses on the coming of Jesus and his birth, and also on his coming again at the end. So the prophecy is fulfilled in the coming of the Lord. Yes, already fulfilled 2,000 years ago. And today's gospel speaks about Jesus doing the amazing work of healing everybody and feeding everybody. So you say, well, this already fulfilled. But it's also looking to the future. It will be fulfilled in a way that it has not yet been made manifest. So we have to be ready for this kind of already and not yet quality of prophecy. The liturgy puts together with this reading Psalm 23, the most famous of the Psalms, "The Lord is my shepherd." And very often when people hear the beginning of that psalm, they say this is a promise of eternal rest. When we die, we're going to go to green pastures and rest beside still waters. And that's true, of course. That's a way of understanding eternal rest. But then the psalm goes on to say, well, he guides me in right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Well, valley of the shadow of death, that can't be eternal rest. He must be talking about here. But we're passing through here. So, then the Lord is my shepherd right now. But I don't feel like I'm in a green pasture. And I'm not by still waters. So it must be something that I can still look forward to. So you see this present and future quality to it. And then the psalm goes on to say, well, you spread the table before me in the sight of my foes or in the presence of my enemies. Well, that's not heaven. But it is God providing a table even when we're under threat from our enemies. He anoints our head with oil, a cup is overflowing. So he's providing oil, remember, is a symbol of strength. He's providing a symbol of the Holy Spirit. He's providing for us right now, even when we're under the threat of our enemies. And then the psalm at the end goes on to say, well, I'm going to be under the care and mercy of God forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So the Lord is my shepherd now, and he will be my shepherd forever. So with that awareness, we look at today's gospel, and we see Jesus, as I said, providing in an extraordinary way, an unbelievable way, the gifts of healing and feeding. Now, it doesn't say in this passage that he raised anybody from the dead. So the prophecy that says God will wipe away all tears and destroy death forever, well, it didn't seem like he destroyed death yet, because there's still people dying. In fact, to this day, people are still dying. And when he provided the food, it was bread and dried fish, which doesn't sound very juicy or rich to us. And there's no wine. So it's not a literal fulfillment of the prophecy, but it certainly is a spiritual and physical fulfillment of the prophecy. But as we know, there's more to the prophecy than the physical realities. And part of what's being revealed here in this gospel is who Jesus is and what God's intention is for his people. And it's revealed in this line: my heart is moved with pity for the crowd. This is how God sees us. He's moved with pity for us. He's concerned for us. He wants to provide for us. He sees that we're empty. We're wandering around 3 days without anything to eat. And even though we've already been healed, we're still hungry. Even though we have faith, we've already been baptized, we already have the scriptures, we have the sacraments, we're still hungry. We still need a shepherd. But the shepherd is here. The good shepherd is here, and his heart is for us. The disciples, who have already seen Jesus multiply loaves to feed 5,000 people, still don't recognize the fulfillment of the promise of God. And when Jesus says, well, these people are hungry, their immediate reaction is, we can't do anything about that. Where can we ever get enough bread in this deserted place to satisfy such a crowd? See, they put themselves in the center of the story as if Jesus is expecting them to solve the world's problems. And that's not it at all. If they had more faith, if they had the faith of the centurion that we saw on Monday, they would have said, our hearts are also moved with pity for the crowd. Lord, help them. That's what the centurion did for his servant, right? He couldn't heal the boy. The centurion couldn't heal him. So he went to Jesus, said, please, just say the word. That's what the disciples should have said if they had more faith. They should have said, Lord, just say the word. And you can provide for these people. But they didn't do that. They said, well, we can't do it. So Jesus has to show them again who's the good shepherd and how he provides. And so he says, well, give me a few loaves. Doesn't even matter how many you have. Just give them to me. And then I'll take care of it from there. And I'll give them to you and you give them to the people. So it's extraordinary fulfillment. It's a revelation of the presence of God and what he has in mind for us. It's also a prophecy. Now, there's a prophecy of Isaiah that multiplication of the loaves is also a prophetic action. It's revealing something to come. Now, we understand it to be a prophecy of the Holy Eucharist, the bread of life, the bread that does provide for us in abundance, in fact, for eternal life. And so that's why we return to the Eucharist every day. Now, even the Eucharist in this life is pointing toward eternal life. I know it's true that there are saints who lived only on the Eucharist. They didn't eat anything else. That's an unusual case, but it's documented. But that's a sign too. We're not supposed to only receive Holy Communion and never eat anything else. That's not God's will for us. In fact, we would die. Unless we're extraordinary signs, we would die. We need more food and drink. So the Eucharist is both an extraordinary banquet of eternal life for us now, and a promise of the fulfillment in eternal life, when we will at last be satisfied forever. So that's what Advent is about. I'm trying to interpret these readings in an Advent way. Advent is a season of joyful and confident hope. Hope looking to the future when all the promises of God are fulfilled. But it's not as if they're not at all fulfilled yet. They're fulfilled even during Advent, but not in their fullness. So we have enough evidence, and we can be certainly confident that God will provide for us today. At the same time, we know that on the Holy Mountain, in the heavenly Jerusalem, they will be fulfilled in an even more glorious way and forever. And that's what fills our hearts with joy as we continue the journey through this valley in the shadow of death, this journey in which we are still in the presence of our enemies. But we can still eat, we can still rejoice, because the Lord is our good shepherd, and he's providing for us now and forever.